It's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you without a dope pod to step to. So I may be reimagining the lyrics here, but y'all know what I mean. Welcome back, Saucy But Sweet fam. I hope everyone is enjoying the holiday season. This is my favorite time of year, so if you're anything like me, you're probably cozying up close to the fireplace with a nice glass of champagne or hot chocolate, reflecting on the past year. It's been a journey for sure. For some, the journey has been rocky and full of many, many hard times. And for some, it had been the best year of their lives. As an entertainment junkie, something I've noticed over the last year is the crazy amount of celebrity breakups and divorces. For example, Sofia Vergara, who just went through a divorce, and Joe Jonas and his messy divorce from Sophie Turner, and literally the poster couple for Black Love, Teyana Taylor and Iman Shumpert. But the one couple who really surprised us was Jada Pinkett Smith and Will, who not only separated, but separated 7 years ago. There's no amount of money I would bet on that happening. Now, I wish I did, because if so, I'd be a very rich woman. But anywho, many of us have been shocked, if not appalled, to hear how messy the marriage really is. If you're like me and interested in discussing what this says about the construction of modern day marriage and relationships, then stick with us. We are definitely going there. You are now listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson, a podcast where nothing is off limits, where we talk about everything from romance, sex, pop culture, and everything in between. Sit back, relax, and enjoy an unfiltered time where we keep it sweet and always saucy. Joining us is the fabulous Katora Kendrick once again. Katora, welcome back to the show.
Woohoo! I'm super psyched. I feel so privileged and honored. I love the show. I love chatting with you. So I am very happy to be back.
Yes, yes. And so the last time you were with us, we had our Valentine's Day episode where you dropped some gems about radical self-love and being your own primary partner, which to this day I've really kept in my mind as I'm in my single journey.
Yes.
And I think it's definitely fitting for you to be joining us to discuss, you know, this whole Jada and Will Smith debacle. It really has taught us a lot about the construction of modern marriage, and also, you know, what the feedback she's been getting so far from media kind of tells about women's place in marriage. And so I think this is a really fitting episode for us to talk about this.
Yes, I agree. I did a live about the response to, and this was early into her robust press tour. She has a good team because she has had a lot of press. This is early into her press tour when the only thing that was revealed and that she led with wisely because she's trying to sell a book was that, shocker, which isn't really shocking, she and Will have not been together for a very long time. That's the only thing this tiny little woman said.
Yeah.
And yet, the recurring... She is emasculating Will. Will is a victim. Let's rename him Willard of Ark.
Yeah.
Because for her to just sing it, I was like, literally, there's not even another, you know, 25-year-old young adult she was predatorily sleeping with. Like, it's just her saying, we not together, and ain't none of y'all surprised.
Yeah. But people were so shocked, though. People were shocked because... Just 2 years ago, Will Smith smacked Chris Rock at the Oscars and said, keep my wife's name out your mouth. Mm-hmm. And so people are like, wait, that wasn't your wife at the time? So
Well, according to Jada, because since doing that live, I got more, especially with people's commenting during the live and comments I've gotten on the post and in my DMs after the live, I really did some more digging and found some more meaningful interviews with her that weren't just the ones that clearly her people led with to get some shock value to add up her book sales, right?
Yeah.
And from what Jada says, shit, she was shocked too to hear Will say that.
Yeah.
Because she says in the book, I still have not read the book. I have moved it up on my priority list since listening to more of her more meaningful interviews to discover that her marriage to Will Smith is a tiny portion of this woman's story.
Yeah.
It's just funny to me because she said that they hadn't really been a married couple. They hadn't been together like that. That's what I find confuses people about their marriage. Not just the people who want to turn Will into Willard of Arc, but people truly like, why y'all staying married anyway?
Yeah. It's a good question.
Exactly. Well, she said that they have always been like each other's family. And they were even there at the award show as family, but they had been estranged as husband and wife for years.
Yeah.
So when he went up and slapped Chris, which she said she thought was a skit like everybody else until he had came back, and she's like, he didn't really hit him. And then we were sitting down saying, keep my wife's name out your mouth. She said that was literally, she was like, wait, oh, I'm here as his wife. Like, she was just thrown by that. Which I think is his own level of BS, because you know what you're doing when they pull y'all in front the little sign and y'all hug each other and smile. You know what you giving off. You know your dad as a man's wife, and that's your role you play in. But yeah, so she said she was kind of surprised by that too.
What bothered me was when she said in an interview that moment made her realize, you know what, I am his wife. Like, that kind of made him sexier to her. And I was like, whoa, I don't think you should be, do not use that to sell your book, girl. Do not do that. You know, I think, you know, maybe some PR people can kind of sit her down a little bit. Like, hey, Jada,
let's talk through what the story is again. Let's get our script clear. Let's stay on brand. Let's stay on script, yeah. Jada. That is a bit too far to the left. People can't take too much of the leftness. And you going even further left of left. Just calm down.
Yeah. It's bad enough you talk about you're not married and we thought you were like and you know, I first off I want to say I'm not anti Jada. I think Jada has every right to speak her truth, especially in a book that, you know, really isn't about Will. It's about her life.
Well, it starts off with her saying that she spent 10 years thinking about killing herself. Like, truly, she has struggled with depression, and from what I hear from other readers and other sort of pop culture analysts whose perspectives I respect. First of all, Jada can write. People talk about the craft of this book is pretty phenomenal, in that she is open and vulnerable about the breadth of who she is. And again, Will is just a tiny portion of the book.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of people, including me, I think, you know, she was on Red Table Talk, which I loved. But I think what a lot of people criticized her for, which is valid, is like, man, why are you, first of all, why are you making a lot of these things public that doesn't really, to be fair, put Will in a very good light? Because Will himself is not as public about that kind of stuff. And so we don't get to hear his side because he won't say it. He always wants to make sure she's in a good light. But then we kind of hear her, like on Red Table Talk, she brought him on to talk about the entanglement. And I personally was like, if I was Will, I would have said hell no to that. But that's on him. That's, you know, he could have.
Which brings me to what I think is a very logical conclusion. Maybe Jada is not the supervillain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because what I find, if we're going to go back to the entanglement thing, here is the series of events that I saw happen. August Alsina told their business. Jada did not have a Red Table Talk about how I groomed my son's friend and we had an entanglement. Jada did not say that. August made a song in which he made it clear that this woman I'm talking about is Jada Pinkett Smith. He went on his own press tour and said, yes, we were smashing and I asked Will's permission. August said that.
Yeah.
And for 3 or 4 days, the Smiths' delusional asses thought they could just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
After a lifetime of turning their family into a whole damn brand, they thought they would just be quiet, it would go away. So Jada and Will said nothing for days, and she started off that Red Table Talk by saying, essentially in her very publicist approved way, shit, I guess I can't say nothing now. We got to say something, so I may as well do it on my own platform while I have some control of the story. So the fact that even that moment was painted as her putting Will in this awkward... No, August Alsina did that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a 25-year-old mentally unstable, broken man who rightfully felt that he had been used by his older lover. And mentor figure, right? So she did not bring this into our sphere to humiliate him. She tried to ignore her shady shit because one of her concubines started talking out of turn, and Will's concubines never had. And she said, like Beyonce does, I'm a controller narrative as best I can. I couldn't stop my sister from beating his ass and spitting on him in the elevator. So I got to do something. Let me make a whole.
I still want to know what that was about. Oh, I guess it was about lemonade.
Then she made lemonade. That was her answer. Right? So him coming on to Red Table Talk was damage control. And one of the things that so many people will repeatedly try to strap Jada Pinkett Smith to a cross for and set her on fire is the audacity that she has as one of the three black women to get chosen for marriage by a super available, super wealthy, good black man who was more than willing to perform the role of good black husband for the world. She has the audacity to not be overflowing and glowing with praise about the beauty of that.
Say that again.
Will has backed up everything that woman has said about how she got lost in that marriage, how he wanted performance from her and his first wife, how she had to shrink herself in many ways to fit into a role she said early on, I don't really know if I want. Will has co-signed everything. Will went on his own book tour and said, yes, they agreed to be non-monogamous. He actually told a couple of one interviewer that he was going to have, he was trying to start his own harem.
Whoa.
He literally said that in his own book tour. And he rolled it back because his therapist was like, yo, you might be actually trying to avoid intimacy by doing that. Just think about that. And he was like, we're right. You're right. But he was like, a bunch of beautiful women. He was thinking about doing that.
Yeah. Wow.
He has co-signed all of this.
Wow.
Yet he is being sort of framed now as this victim of a 5'1" woman.
Well, Charlamagne the God says, nobody cares about the truth when the lie is so entertaining. So I think it's entertaining to believe that, unfortunately, with the media, the way people string it up, that she's the villain. She's the one who cheated. She's the one who did this and that. And he's the poor man.
At this point, we know she didn't cheat. We've known she didn't cheat. Even when it did the Red Table Talk, they said we were separated at the time. They both lied, and neither one of them came out and said, you know, we ain't even together now, so I don't know why we're having this conversation. They both led us to believe that at the time when she groomed her little mentee, we were led to believe that they were on a break. They said that out their mouth. So we already knew she wasn't an adulterer. What she was an ungrateful black woman who was not happy cosplaying good black wife. And would not apologize for not finding that role to be the most rewarding, to find Will Smith who was buying her houses and naming lakes after her and shit. Even though she said, I ain't want no house named after me, I ain't want no lake. But he still did it because that's what a good black husband does. That is what she's guilty of. And the fact that her husband is still allowing her to reap the social and economic rewards of being a good black wife, and they ain't even together. This heifer, how dare this heifer? You know how many black women have shrank themselves to a mulch and don't even recognize their own voice to remain chosen by men who are half ass? And this is what she does. Come on now, this she set her afire, light her afire.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, this is not the first example, right, of us seeing the media kind of make that distinction about these women that are in these marriages that aren't happy, right? Like, we talk about, you know, Sophie Turner, who, you know, from Game of Thrones, who recently got divorced from Joe Jonas. And then soon as the divorce came out in the news, she was the party girl. She was the one who cheated. She did this. And then we see pictures of him with his kids.
right after at brunch. And I was like, wow, is that how we're spending it? Really?
When I don't know that story too well, but when all that probably happened was a romantic relationship didn't work out. That happens pretty regularly across the world. For whatever reason, she and Jonas decided the romantic component of the relationship wasn't working out. And then they ended the marriage, right? They ended the relationship. That's all that happened. And it happens pretty regularly.
Happens every day.
Are you ready to become the best version of yourself and live your best life? Are you tired of feeling stuck in your career, relationships, and your day-to-day routine? It all begins with you. In order to give your best, you have to become your best self. Stop living by default and create the life you want. I remember when there was a time where I felt like I had no control over my life, and the best life coach / relationship coach to help me put my life back together is Odette Godonel. If you are a hardworking, independent, successful woman who lacks energy, focus, and direction, feels overwhelmed, stressed, and anxious, thinks there is never enough time, puts yourself at the bottom of your priority list, feels a lack of connection in your marriage or relationship, or feels stuck and afraid of change, Odette can help. You don't have to keep struggling, and you don't have to figure it out alone. Odette has found the tools to learn how to stop living by default and start creating the life and the relationship that she wanted, and helped countless clients do the same. With her help, you can learn to reignite the spark within yourself, improve connection, intimacy, and fun in your marriage, have the best relationship possible with your partner, have more harmony, satisfaction, and joy in your relationship, improve communication and conflict resolution, increase your self-confidence, self-love, and self-worth, prioritize what really matters and set boundaries, and have goals, habits, and actionable steps that lead to results. If you're tired of living your life on the sidelines, visit www.odettecodonel.com. That's www.odettecodonel.com. You'll thank me later.
Your exchange of vows is no guarantee that you're going to be dying with this man. Like, that's
you might end up killing him, actually.
You might end up killing him. He might end up deciding that I made a mistake and breaking a vow. You might make them decide to do whatever. There may be another pandemic that comes through and kills him. Who the fuck knows? But there's no guarantee, right? So the relationship ended and she went about her business. But I think there is such a deep level. I think there are two things that play here for me. I think there is a deep level of idol worship we have assigned to I call it wholesome heterosexual love. That wholesome heterosexual love, especially in the case of Will and Jada, black love especially, that narrative, we have deified. It is our God. And we want a very specific plot line. And especially for women who are black, we are told that prize is so often kept out of y'all's reach, especially given to you by a man who is your financial equal or greater, who isn't going to cheat on you publicly, at least.
Because it definitely happens behind the scenes, I tell you that.
Yeah, who doesn't beat you. Who is a quote-unquote good man. And apparently all it takes to be a good man is, again, to be financially secure, to not publicly embarrass your spouse. That really is the bar for good black man. A good man, period, right?
Yeah.
So we have this deeply, deeply deified view of heteronormative nuclear family love. And so many people have that whole entire nuclear family, the heteronormative story, as a performative prompt, right? The other thing that's at play is what is expected of women when they are offered the prize that we have historically believed is the only thing that validates and gives a woman the official accreditation as a woman. It is the ring of a good, wholesome, heterosexual man that eventually leads to at least 2 babies. Mm-hmm. That's part of the prop. That's part of the prop, right? The man, yep, and the baby. So for a woman, yep, especially, not to react in a way that is deeply appreciative, for her to do anything more than jokingly make little cute little jokes about how, you know, marriage is hard, or sometimes I want to knock my husband on the head. Like, just make cute little jokes about it. But we all know you, it's like, you know, humble bragging. Like, oh my God, I get, yeah, so tired of all this sex I'm having with this man. Like, yeah, it's humble brag, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. So for any woman not to play along with, I'm not going to lie, it takes work. I mean, I'm not trying to play like it's all fantasy, you know.
Yeah.
But to not still show her deep appreciation for being, especially if you're a Black woman, being one of the few who gets entree into the world of coupledom, that itself is heresy. That is what we can't deal with.
It's insane. And it's always, you know, when I'm looking at these stories of the of divorce stories, it's always the woman. Always, she walked away. Like, even with Gisele Bundchen, I don't know how to say her last name right, but when she stepped away from Tom Brady, I'm not gonna lie, she is the happiest divorced woman I've ever seen in my life.
I've never seen a unhappy divorced woman. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm sure there's some exist, because that's just the reality of life. I always do the standard, girl, I'm sorry, when someone I know announces divorce, and more often than not, I get, don't be. That's their response. I feel like that's the thing you're supposed to say, right? Oh, I'm sorry. And I've never had a woman say, oh, I'm so sorry too. Most of them are like, it's been a long time coming and I should have done this years ago, but I didn't want to just basically end this marriage without putting in the work to try to keep it going, right? Yeah, I've never seen an unhappy divorced woman. Right after the divorce, years after the divorce, I've never seen one.
Yeah, because you're told that you're a failure. You failed. You did something wrong as a woman, that you couldn't keep it together. Not understanding what the role that the men plays in a lot of ways. And why they tell men that? Hey, why'd you leave that woman? They don't ask men that. They ask women that. And it's just really, it's just insane. And I you know me, I love love. I love romance. So I, you know, hope to never get divorced. But these things happen. You know?
Yeah, I think most people enter marriages not wanting them to into divorce, and I would not want them into divorce either. Like, why have to go through all that trouble if you're going to get divorced? Of course, no one's rooting for it, but again, romantic love is the most fickle of all the loves. It's the most fickle, and in America, we believe strongly that marriages should be based on romantic love. So there you go.
And it's the hardest.
And it's the most fickle, which is probably why divorce rate is probably rivals other countries who don't believe so much that marriage needs to be based on the fickleness of romantic love.
I am battling it in my mind a little bit of like, how long will I be single? I don't want to be single in my 40s. I don't, like, it's still in my mind because it's the thought of the traditionalism of it. Like, I want to be chosen. And you work hard to kind of rewire your brain, but it takes time. You know what I mean? It takes a long time to, at least for me, it's taking me a while.
Yeah, I think it takes a long time. And here's the reality. Maybe you just want to be married. And mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they call it convention for a reason. Because the world is structured around that convention. So yes, why wouldn't you? For women like me, who has never seen it as a prize, simply because if I take the heteronormity out of it, I'm pretty certain I still wouldn't want it, because just who I am, I truly thrive when I don't have to organize my life around a romantic partner. That has never felt right to me. I am what social scientist Bella DiPaolo calls single at heart. What you're doing now, my version of what you're doing now with I'm trying to own singleness, I don't want to be single and I'm 40, was my trying to make myself want this thing that the whole world kept telling me I was going to want someday.
Yeah.
And the whole world was so structured to make me think I was crazy for not idolizing it, not spending exhausting all of this energy dating when I didn't feel like it, because if I don't, then I might not ever get it. Not being afraid of being 40 and single, like, I think it's a great privilege. And I'm thankful for the privilege every day. And I'm clear that some women don't, right?
Yeah.
But the reason why it's hard for you, I logged on to Netflix a few weeks ago. And you know how they have these little categories after watching your algorithm, they'll recommend stuff. And they'll have 30-minute laughs, award-winning, you know, classics. There was a category Netflix suggested to me called Reluctant Adults. That was the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew what the common thread was in all of these things that they were suggesting to me. But I hovered over a few. The first one was clearly this B or C level grade sitcom with a bunch of 20-somethings living together in this apartment. So it was clear that clearly they were not married, didn't have children, because they're 20-something.
Yeah, like friend situation, like friends.
Exactly. Yeah. In the clip that was highlighted when I hovered was them arguing over some silliness about a job interview or about a date that had gone wrong, right? So that was the first one. I hovered over a next one. It was an Indian film about this late 20, early 30-year-old boy whose parents were trying to partner him, set him up with a potential arranged marriage, and he was refusing to do it for silly reasons. Like, you know, he just wasn't ready to be married, and he wanted to have fun. I hovered over another one.
Woo!
You see the thread?
We see the thread here, yeah.
The reluctant adults, right? I hovered over the next one, and I chose to watch it because it at least seemed interesting. So it was a woman, probably in her 30s, maybe mid-30s, who had this late launch. It was clear she was still living at home with her parents, or she may have moved out and had some life happening, had to move back in. Didn't really have a job that was worth mentioning. She didn't really have a career. She had a sucky job. She didn't really have a man in her life. And the thing that made it interesting was it was sort of this mythical, sort of magical realism thing where Morgan Freeman was this godlike figure who would pop up in this church and say, I have a horse or a unicorn I'm going to sell you. And she would come to try to find a unicorn. But anyway, so it was an interesting, cute little film. Long story short, at the end of the film, when homegirl reached her character arc, she still didn't have no job. She still didn't live. She still lived with her mom and her daddy. But guess what she had, Allie?
A man.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
They set up the scene in the last two scenes where a friend, mm-hmm. who she kind of had this sexual tension with, this attraction with, mm-hmm. they ended leaving the frame holding hands. So, her entry into adulthood was not a career to financially support herself. Her entry into adulthood was her wholesome, heterosexual love story. That was
and so she can have children, and she could be a housewife. That's adulthood for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she probably wouldn't have been a housewife, because that still is not a likelihood for the vast majority of women in today's economy. She probably had a job, and then, of course, do what women who have jobs do, also do all the work at home, too, with some help from the husband, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you're having a hard time understanding that life can still be deeply joyful, deeply pleasureful, and fulfilling when you 40 and have not been chosen. Why would you not think that you're just going to fall off the face of earth and die?
Yeah.
Of course you think that. Why would you not? Because the whole world is constructed for the sheer purpose of getting you to think that.
Yeah.
I wish you well in finding it, because it's okay to still want it.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. I think that's what it is that's me and my friends are going through, because a lot of us sometimes, you know, talk to many women who've stayed with people who they don't really want to be with, and they put up with everything just because it's, like you said, it's the man and woman, child. And then look at, you know, Jada and Will. What confused me, now I don't understand too much how their love goes, it's a bit confusing to me, none of my business either, but they had said, you know, we're going to love each other for the rest of our lives. We're not giving up. And Jada said, you know, there is no other love story for me. This is it. And I'm thinking, really? Like, you know, like, it just to me is like, is that really, you want that? You know, and I'm wondering how much of it is that she's comfortable, like she's children and stuff. Or she just feels like in society, like, I need to be a kept woman. I need to be, you know, I don't know. It's odd. It's very odd to me.
I think what they have said, and I have seen readers who have read Will's memoir and have listened to Jada's, because I've heard that you have to listen to the audiobook, that her narration, again, is as superb as the writing itself.
Wow.
From readers who have read both those books, I've seen many comment, I understand now why they're together. It makes sense. They are very similar in how they're built. And they do have a deep respect for each other. And they do deeply love each other. One of the things that Will said to Oprah on his book tour was that he and Jada's marriage is not necessarily based that much on sexual fidelity. That is based on them being loyal to the friendship and the friendship only, and them being committed to being each other's person and support until the day they close their eyes. And that when Jada says that she needs something to be happy, he supports her in that. And when he says he needs something to be happy, she supports him in that, right? And I think the implication from Will was, so if I am with another woman romantically and that's what I need to fulfill me, Jada's going to support that because our love transcends the construct of what we have deemed as the only evidence that this love is real in heteronormativity. And often that's also tied to monogamy, especially sexual monogamy. I kind of see what they're trying to say, but I also think they are shady and pretend that they don't understand why the public at large can't understand them when they're trying to say, we're just doing something alternative, or we are just redefining marriage. And that's hard for us to see because Willard Smith made it his goal back in the late 90s, early aughts to have a whole ass campaign making him and his family the poster child for very normal, very heteronormative, very monogamous, wholesome heterosexual love. He made that part of his brand. So you can't then 20 years later, Willard, try to flip the script and introduce all of these high order, non-ethical, non-monogamous, we based on something deeper than just this. You can't introduce it to us. I'm like, what y'all don't get?
Yeah. Yeah, like they never fit that. The traditional marriage never fit them. So that's how they can kind of continue it. It's not, yeah.
And he intentionally branded them as that. Jada has said many, I remember one time on Red Table Talk, Willow actually said when she was a kid, she made this comment and everybody cracked up that daddy really, really, really loves these other people that's not us. Like he has this version of the perfect children and the perfect wife and they're not us.
Yeah. It's like he's torn between two worlds, you know, wanting to be the man that society expects him to be, when in reality that's not him, you know, and like own that, you know.
Well, he spent his childhood watching his father beat up his mom, and I think there is, and I'm going to try to be careful on how I frame this, because I don't want to diminish and dismiss particularly a man who holds this dear in their hearts, right? There is a type of man for whom the idea of marriage and being very much, I will be married and I won't be divorced.
Yeah.
We applaud that and we celebrate that. A man who's like, I'm willing to do the work to make this work, because we feel like often men avoid it and women have to trap them or convince them, right? So those men get a level of admiration and valor from the public, even when their ideology is more about proving they're not their daddy or proving that they can break cycles and they can break chains, or proving that they're not that kind of black man. Yeah. And We underestimate how when your commitment to marriage is based on proving a fucking point, maybe, I'm not going to say problematic, because again, I don't want to say that because it doesn't feel like the right word, but maybe that's not necessarily a great thing.
I mean, that's a valid point for sure. It's just, you know, watching the Jada and Will, it really just showed me, and really just hearing about the breakups of this year and just people that I know that are going through it. It just, you never know what people are going through, and you never, a lot of times what I stop doing is couple goals, I stopped doing it. I had to stop.
No such thing. Well, the last person who got kind of skewered, but we let her off the hook because she followed the tow line. The last person kind of got skewered is Michelle Obama when she was on her own book tour. And she said for 10 years, she couldn't stand y'all's favorite president. And what I remembered, which people may have forgotten about, when she went through her own little very low level media, social media chastisement. From all the girls in their 30s who were like, what? I can't believe you tell me that's what I gotta do. Right? And of course, the crowd that was just like, you know, why are you embarrassing your husband like that? When Barack Obama was running for president his first term in 08, Michelle Obama behaved like Jada Smith. And then probably Valerie Jarrett, his campaign manager, pulled her inside and said, look, I know you probably think you're above this, but you can't be saying certain things if you want to become the first black first lady. Michelle Obama, somebody asked Michelle Obama something about what she, what frustrated about her husband. Or like, you know, one of those questions that's really meant for you to brag about your husband, a humble brag. And I think it was framed as something like, what is one of his flaws, or how do you feel about, you know, all this greatness he's doing? And Michelle Obama said something to the effect of, if he's so great, why can't he pick up his socks? Yep. And she said it as a joke, right? Yeah. It was definitely a joke, but it wasn't the humble brag joke that she was supposed to say when your car's playing good black wife, right? And I remember clearly, before the day was over, the headline, she emasculating him. Why can't she be a good black wife? And she fell her ass in line right after that. I remember she also said one time, they asked her, like, how does she support Barack's dream or whatever? And she said, I raise his children with a straight face.
Yep, I know that's right.
And the headlines blew the fuck up. Because once again, this woman who was just telling the truth was emasculating the presidential candidate by simply saying, I'm taking on an unfair share of the emotional labor, even before he's running fucking president. I've been doing it our whole entire marriage.
And this is why, statistically, and I know you've probably know of this too, that single women are actually the happiest compared to married women, and single men are less happy than married men.
Because married men have a whole ass person whose whole entire job is to assist them in adulting. Why wouldn't they be happier?
Yeah, they're better off married. Men are actually better off married. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and let me just say this. I've read those articles. I've even read the actual research reports and looked at the raw data. And first of all, happiness is a very wiggly term, right? How one defines happiness and how one lists their happiness and outline it are very nuanced, right? So I don't want to say that simply because a woman is even going through a rough patch in her marriage or has a marriage that takes a lot of work, that somehow that means she's less happy than me, who exists on the scale of 1 to 10 and an 8 of absolute joy most days, right? I don't want to, because what her rubric for happiness is very different from mine. But what I will say is, in the 48 years when people have tried to truly catch me in my lie, that I deeply prefer being unpartnered. While I will enjoy the company of a man, that I think is a great privilege and an honor. And I love the fact that I get to structure my life around the people who I want in it and not around one person. And I'm not tasked with the emotional labor that often is assigned to women in heterosexual partnerships, even when the man is quote unquote progressive, right? When people are trying to catch mm-hmm. me in my lie, mm-hmm. like you seem happy, you know, and they will say something like, but listen, come on, girl, you can admit it. Haven't sometimes over these last 48 years, you really said, I wish I had a husband to help with this or do that. And I have said to them without betting an eye, I have not. I have periodically said, I really could use a wife. More times than I can tell you. And specifically, I've said, I wish I had my brother's wife. Because that lady. So things that men apparently bring to you can be hired out real easily, right? So when I look at what wives, whether heterosexual or queer, at what women do because we are socialized to do, not because we have a special nurturing gene. It really is several lifetimes of indoctrination and socialization, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, right? The way women care and do and are able to suck it up and put themselves second, third, and fourth for the people they love, men are not raised to do that. They are mm-hmm. not socialized to do that. And many of the straight ones are socialized in the world. They are sort of internalizing the notion that women exist to make your life easier. All of them, your mama, your aunties, your school teachers, your girlfriends, your sisters, they all are there to make your life easier. And especially the ones you gift with the prize of being chosen. You done saved her from not being chosen. So she owe you a lot.
What I'm trying to get in my mind too now when I date, because I am dating, you know, is like, man, I also have to choose that person. Not just, oh, did he choose me? I'm choosing you. I'm choosing to wake up and talk to you and go on a date with you instead of, oh, does he like me? Well, do I like him? You know, like, this is something that we as women don't do. It's always, well, you just weren't wanted. No one wanted you, or a guy didn't want. It's like, oh, no. Whoa.
I think it's deeply ingrained in our culture, and it takes a lot of intentional work. And I also think most men aren't terribly aware mm-hmm. of their conditioning. And the ones who mm-hmm. are, again, I mean, if they grew up on Earth, why would they be terribly concerned either way? That's just the way life is. It's just the way it's structured. And they get quite an advantage from this structure, right? So again, and even in that construct, I don't want to suggest that a woman who chooses to enter that construct, even under the patriarchy, which you cannot avoid, and is doing the work to reorder his thinking or to be intentional about not wrapping her life completely around his, that work, I'm assuming, can be very tiring. And I'm also clear mm-hmm. that doesn't necessarily mean that she is more or less happy than I am. Mm-hmm. Because there's a mm-hmm. level of work involved in being a woman dealing with men, period.
Yep.
That I cannot opt out of, and that I have to find ways mm-hmm. to navigate that are not always, mm-hmm. quote unquote, the high road that has me looking like, you know, the superhero in fighting the patriarchy. Because the shit is tiring sometimes, fighting the patriarchy. So I think instead of single women are happier, I would say I'm more comfortable with definitely co-signing single women are less emotionally tasked and drained than married ones.
Ooh, that's a good way to put it. Yeah. I'm someone who, as a journalist, can see both sides of things. And so I like to listen to different media outlets and such. And you should see the hatred that women and TikTok, the feminists on TikTok, the women who are accepting being single for some time, the much hate they're getting from, like, the Candace Owens. I know you know Candace Owens, who looks at women like, really, I guess women like us, as the most saddest women on the planet, you know? To her, we're like, ugh, you know? And she likes to tell women, you know, your job is to be a mother and a wife, and if you're not that, then you're selfish. What's wrong with you?
While she makes a multi-million dollar industry working, telling us not to work, that we shouldn't be concerned about that. Like, this is your job, Candace. This is your business that doesn't involve wifing and mothering. Your job, and you're making lots of good money off of it. Okay, Candace.
And you're making lots of good money to tell people and tell women there's something's wrong with them if they are not married and having children. Like, this is her brand as well. It's like, I have a husband and kids, but I work. But, like, if you just want to work, something's wrong with you. And it's like, wait, what? You know, it's...
You're literally at work telling me this, Candace. You are at your job telling me that I'm somehow selfish and stupid for having a job while still wanting to have a wife, a husband, and kids. Okay, Candace.
Yeah. And if my listeners want to laugh, watch anything from Candace Owens where she talks about Chelsea Handler, who I think is the happiest woman on the planet. Anyone who's seen Chelsea Handler, just look at her. And just watch it, how mad Candace Owens gets. I love it. I love watching just how angry. She hates that there's a woman on this earth that can just be free and happy. So I want my listeners to check that out. It'll lighten up your day. Because she's just... Oh, it's insane. It's insane. This has been such a great conversation. You know, I love talking about love and marriage, and also love talking about radical self-love with single women. And that is just such a big thing. And when I think about Jada and Will, this came to me, you know?
I'm glad to be a part of it. It was lovely chatting.
Of course, yes. And we will definitely have you back on. You know, you're always welcome.
Oh, I'm a regular. I love it. Thank you so much, Miss Ma'am.
And that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson.